great. I love being a comedian. It's like a dream come true. Wrote my first joke when I was 11. My mom's drinking was so bad. When she quit, she had to go to AAA. The 11-year-old. But it was cool because she brought home a lot of free maps. They even plan trips for you. To a meeting, from a meeting. That's like, oh. I'm the youngest of three children. There's me, and then mom and dad. My dad's family is Jewish. My mom's family was atheist, so I want to marry a doctor who's good enough for me. But I don't believe he exists. I moved to San Francisco right after graduating college, and I got the diploma, or as my dad likes to call it, the receipt. Met two guys, one really nice guy and one guy I liked. Made out with him, Jeff. Jeff, not so much of a catch, more of a catch and release. Okay, he was a little dumb. He was kind of like a frat boy without the college. Okay. He was really dumb. He was kind of like he thought analogy is the study of assholes.
Hi, this is Alicia Dattner. I am doing a comedy show in New York called The Oi of Sex. Come see it. It's March 30th to April 17th. And you're listening to UNC Radio, and this is Dave's Gone By. I'm excited to hang out with Rabbi Saul Solomon.
Take one virgin, two boyfriends, several dozen lovers, half a dysfunctional family. What have you got? Well, sounds like the Lindsay Lohan story, but no! You have the life of the person that we are going to be talking to on the phone this morning in the neighborhood. Her name is Alicia Dattner, and she has this one-woman show, which is called The Oi of Sex. So two things that I love. I love to complain, and I love to shtup. So it's going to be great fun talking with this woman who will have her show. It's playing off-Broadway at the Shetler Studios at the Bridge. She'll explain all that. But you can see her from the end of March through middle of April. She's done a couple of other one-woman shows and stand-up comedy all over the place. Should be a barrel of laughs for me, Rabbi Saul Solomon, to talk with Alicia Dattner in the neighborhood. Shalom, Alicia!
Shalom, Rabbi. Wow, what an introduction.
Well, thank you. So is your Hebrew name Aliza? What is your Hebrew name?
My Hebrew name is Devorah Brina.
Now, wait. How the hell did that happen?
The Brina, I don't know if that's like salt brine or like
Well, that leaves you in a bit of a pickle, but yeah, no, but I mean, Devorah, how do you go from Alicia to Devorah?
I don't know. I don't think there was a one-to-one correlation. I think Devorah means bee, actually.
Oh.
I don't know why they chose that. So maybe it was a relative.
Oh, you know, that could
not
be
not like
it.
A back-and-forth kind of, like, thing.
Well, it could be a stinging commentary, if you will, to get the bee thing. Anywho, were you bat mitzvahed?
I was, yeah. Just barely.
Do you have any bat mitzvah memories?
Oh, my God. I remember I couldn't fully read Hebrew, so I was just sort of struggling. And I just, like, you know, I remember just trying to tape record the Haftorah and listen to it while I was sleeping, hoping I would, like, absorb it.
Did it work?
I don't think so.
God. That's a great way to learn Torah, if it seep into your head while you're sleeping.
Maybe it did, but I don't know. I think I just had a hard time going to sleep.
Did you try that with the Kama Sutra too later on? No, you tried that out in bed, but you didn't sleep with it in the bed there. Now, we're talking sex with you because sex is a big component of your one-woman show, The Oi of Sex. So it's about what? So we have your coming of age and meeting all these men, and as my great Bubby said when I told her about your show, oh, you're basically a slut.
I hear what she's saying. And there's a lot more context in the show, but it's basically like getting to the place of like going from being a very shy and perhaps not particularly popular girl to like learning about sex and finding the way in to connect with people in this really exciting way. And well, mostly
the way in being the operative term. Yes.
Yes. Yes. A lot more making out than actual.
Ah, all right. Okay, so, but, all right, so how old were you when, you first lost your virginity, as it were?
I was 21.
Oh, so you were you're an old woman almost,
compared to
most people
much.
Nowadays.
I mean, I could have been married by then. I know, it's weird.
Well, yeah.
So I actually go into that in the show about how, like, you know, I'm, like, kissing a lot of guys, but I was waiting, actually, to have sex till I was, you know, for true love.
And was it that, or what you thought was true love when it happened?
No, I don't know what it was.
Well, God, were you with Bill Cosby? I mean, what was it?
It was, I had my first real boyfriend.
Ah, okay.
You know, and, like, you know, it was, oh, I love you, we're together, you know, like a real relationship.
Now, was he Jewish?
You know, I thought he was because his name sounded very Jewish and he looked Jewish. So, you know, we started dating and then I just assumed because I have good Judar. But then...
Yes.
Then he wasn't.
Like, oh, my God. No wonder it wasn't true love. Oh, boy. The trickster. On that first night when you lost your... That was, he's got a long penis. He can't be Jewish. That was it. No, I've got to tell. Oh, please! I remember when I was dating years ago, a girl I was dating said she wanted to show me her hymen, and she brought in her Uncle Hyman, who sold dry goods. It was very disappointing. I can't begin to tell you. So is he mentioned in your? Because that doesn't sound like an experience that is so memorable that you would craft a show about it. At what point did all these things turn into a show?
You know, after many years of actually I stepped back and I actually started looking at, like, you know, what do I really want here in my life, and took a year off, a year or two of total celibacy.
Oh, my God.
Retooled my entire whole dating setup. I just threw it all out, and I said, I think I want to do something different. And then all the jokes I had written while I was, you know...
Well, not to spoil people's...
Those were all the funny things, and I kind of put them in context.
What's a joke or two? I mean, you're not going to give away the whole show, but what's a joke or two about the dates that you had, or shall we say the sex dates that you had with all these men?
I don't know. Like, do you ever... I don't know, Rabbi, maybe this is not something you have experienced, but have you ever, like, did you ever wake up next to someone who you didn't mean to sleep with?
You mean my wife? Yes, of course. Every day of my life.
And it, like, but, like, you know, in my experience, it's like I would look over and I'd be like, oh, so do you want to go get some chai? And he'd be like, yeah, sure. And I'd be like, well, go.
Oh, ooh.
You know, that kind of experience of, like, whoops.
Well, when you would meet these kinds of men, were you go to dance clubs and clubs like that? Were they from other situations? I mean, how would you meet guys that you wouldn't want to really look at in the morning?
Oh, well, I mean, that one is sort of the extreme. That, I think, I'm thinking of someone at Burning Man.
Oh, God, you went to Burning Man?
Oh, I went to Burning Man so many times. Pretty much most of the time.
You know what Burning Man is? Burning Man is, for me, in the morning, my prostate. I'm like, oh, it's burning. That's as close as I ever get to Burning Man. Gewalt. So, you know what? I've never been, I will never go. What the hell is Burning Man?
Oh my God, Burning Man is exquisite. I mean, I don't go anymore because it's a little overrun by people I wouldn't want to wake up next to. But it's just, it's this amazing, totally anarchistic, dry, deserty, dusty experience of, like, being in the desert with a bunch of people and no money and a lot of art. And
okay.
A lot of naked people on drugs.
Were you a drug person, too?
Not very much. I mean, you know, occasionally. And mostly at Burning Man.
But did you ever have a really interesting hallucination?
Oh, well, I hallucinated that, you know, people were in love with me.
Okay. You can put that, if that isn't in your show, you can add that, because that's a good line.
I should, yeah. Well, it's kind of, there's a moment in the show where I talk about that. And, I mean, hallucinations, I wouldn't call them, you know, visual so much as emotional experiences of, like, complete and utter bliss.
Freedom. Oh, really? I mean, I don't even get that reading Torah. So you would take this thing and it would really make you happy with no bad side effects?
No. Then there would be awful side effects. Like, you know, the next thing would happen and I'd be in complete misery.
Oh, aren't drugs wonderful? Let me tell you.
Aren't they wonderful? Yeah.
So can you count on, I don't know, 50 people's fingers and toes how many men you've shtooked?
Oh, yeah. I know it's going to be surprising to you. It's going to be difficult for you to kind of get your head around this, but I've actually only had sex with 2 men.
Wait a minute. Whoa. The whole...
Crazy.
Hold it.
I know. Okay, wait. So, and 6...
Wait, your phone just went lower. Hold on.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. Okay.
So, two men and 6 guys. So, like...
Wait, what does that even mean?
You know.
No, I don't. Were there 6 guys all at the same time?
No.
So, wait, there were 2 people that you were close, had real relationships with, and 6 men that you... What?
No, I'm making a joke about men. I'm saying there were, like, you know, 2 of them were actual men, and 6 of them were basically just guys.
Okay. That could be that one sort of went over my head.
It's sort of.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they weren't children. I got scared there for a minute.
We're
12-year-olds. No, all right.
Bye.
So 8 total.
8.
Humans. So you call your show the Oi of Sex. It's not like you... Wow.
No, it's more like the Oi of making out. It's more like the Oi of kissing.
Ah, well, what, Oi, did you ever get a social disease?
It doesn't rhyme very well.
No.
What did you say?
No, did you ever get a social disease?
A social disease? Well,
From kissing, you get mono, you get the herpes on the lip.
No, I don't, not in my experience.
Good, thank God. You know, you can get things from kissing. You know, this is a public service part of this interview.
I was trying to think of a joke for social disease, but I couldn't come up with anything fast enough.
Well, Donald Trump is a social media disease. That's close.
Right.
Kind of. That could work. Okay, so what is it about...
Very confusing, right? What is it about my story that's worth telling?
Yeah.
I think it's that actually it's really universal. I think it's that, like, a pretty common experience of not just women, but, like, men who... You know, we go out and we look and we're trying to find love and we stumble upon sex and we're, you know, grasping for connection and...
Quite literally, yes.
Literally. And so, like...
Well, if you add in all the men that you snogged with, as it were, and you did other stuff with, now does it go into the hundreds?
Maybe, I don't know, 100.
Oh, my, wow. Okay, my bubby was right.
You know.
Good Lord.
Over a number of years, that's not very many people.
Well, I don't know how old you are. How old are you, Sorry?
I'm not...
You're not going to say.
I'm ready to say.
Okay, fair enough, but I'm trying to 100 over 10 years, over 20 years.
You know what's hilarious? I'm willing to tell you public how many people I've kissed, but I'm not willing to tell you how many years I've lived.
That's, yeah, isn't that just like a woman, as Bob Dylan would say?
Funny.
So what's a story? What's a funny thing that happened with someone that maybe you didn't sleep with, but someone that you did a bit of stuff with?
Right. Well, so let's see. I live in San Francisco, but the last time I was in New York, not the last time, I mean maybe 15 years ago, I was on the subway, and I was on my way back to stay at my girlfriend's house, you know, a female friend's house, and this guy starts chatting me up, but I don't know, like I was looking at him somehow, I don't know, is that a normal thing? Do you talk to people on the subway?
Talk to, I look at my shoes on the subway and hope I don't get raped. Please.
I know. I don't know. I mean, he was a very innocent looking. He was not a scary big, you know.
Oh, it's the innocent ones you gotta watch out for.
Right? So we start talking, and then it turns out he's a screenwriter.
Ooh.
And then it turns out, you know, his parents were, he grew up in the circus, and
okay.
And at that time I had been...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. You traveled with a traveling circus yourself, believe me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that was the moment where I had been touring my circus around the country. So we were performing in New York.
Wow, so you met a kindred spirit on the subway, a real...
It was just like, why would I talk to a stranger on the subway? And then it turns out we both are in the circus. I mean, is that a coincidence?
I know. Did you juggle his balls? I'm kidding. So what happened? So you're talking on the subway...
So, I'm just thinking this is a cute guy, and it's right before my big, I didn't know this then, but I was about to, you know, be celibate for a year and a half and just say, like, I'm done with all this. And, I don't know, we talked, and then we both were getting off at the same stop. I mean, I think.
Oh.
Got off at a stop, he got off at, so, walking behind me, and he just says, I thought we said goodbye. You know, like, oh, nice to meet you. Wow, coincidence or the circus. And then he says, can I pull your hair? And I'm like...
What?
He's talking about, can I pull your hair? Like, that was his line.
Was that, he's going to show you a trick?
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you said, okay. You said, oh, a man you don't know asks you if he can pull your hair.
I could totally take him. He was very innocent. He was very small and, you know... He was not a big, scary man.
You were still upright at this point. It's not like you were on all fours.
We were just walking out the subway.
Yeah, okay. So, and what happened?
Well, and then pretty much, I mean, like, you know, we went to a bar. We had a great conversation. I mean, you know, like, human connection happened.
Nice. Great. Good.
Yeah, it was nice. There was, like, lots of interesting stuff. We talked about screenwriting. We talked about the circus.
Sure.
You know, I told him about my show. And then we made out a little bit, and then, you know, some fun moments of, like, felt very, like, you know, I'm, like, in New York, I'm, like, being kissed, you know, against the side of a building, and, you know, as the sun is setting, and...
That's hot, that's great, that's lovely.
It was very beautiful, it was very sweet.
Is there a second act to this? I'm worried now, what happened?
You know, there's nothing, sadly, it's not that interesting a story, basically.
Oh.
I get to my friend's house, he drops me off, and he's making out with me, and she's really pissed, because it's late, and,
Oh, your friend is, you mean, yeah.
My friend is, she's not happy with me, and that was really the sad part, it was just like, you know, I'm like, hey, look, I met this amazing guy, look, he's so good, and she's like, oh, you? You know, what do you do? Well, it's late. I felt like this is a celebration moment, like, look at...
Oh.
I had this synchronicity, and she's like, I'm tired.
Well, what happened with the, did you see here? Now, here's the thing, you met this guy, there's a connection, a spark, you're even making out the first moment you meet him, nothing, no dates, you didn't, you certainly didn't marry.
You know, he was a small, not intimidating guy, so like, what, am I going to, you know, have a relationship with him?
Whoa. So I take it you like big... burly, husky...
I think I like...
John Amos kind of men, sort of thing.
I don't know, maybe.
Yaphet Kotto, perhaps.
You know, I live in San Francisco, I was on tour, what am I going to do? I met, you know, one or two guys on the circus tour.
Now, let me ask you, what is your circus specialty? Are you a ringmaster because you're funny, or do you actually have skill sets?
No, just it was an audience participation circus. So, you know, I was the ringmaster, and we had just hilarious acts. We had the emotional escape artist, had the self-taming lion man.
Well, that's funny. I like this. It's like the David Shiner sort of circus thing.
We did, you know, it's very punk rock circus, kind of modeled after this Circus Ridiculous kind of style, but less vulgar.
Oh, okay.
And more adorable. And my partner and I, we would bring people up from the stage and we would dance with them and sing with them and flirt. And we did acrobatics. Like, we had a hilarious, comical acrobatic routine that we would dance. It was called the Dance of the Third Wheel. And he and I would dance acrobatically around someone else from the audience.
And that person would just stand there and literally be the third wheel, and that was the
Yeah,
that's funny, actually. I would love to have seen that. Is that circus still in existence, or gone?
We don't do any anymore, but we have a documentary about, you know, we have a video of the show.
What is it about San Francisco that it grew so many circus? There was the Pickle family, and there was the other, what's the mime troupe came out of there? What is it about San Francisco and circuses?
Well, it's like you're as far west as you can go before you hit water. And it's like, okay, what weird, crazy idea can we experiment with? There's nothing further that I can do. Let me juggle something.
Oh, there you go. Now, the most astonishing thing about your resume, Alicia Dattner, is not only that you've done a couple of one-person shows, you did Eat, Pray, Laugh, you did something called The Punchline, and now, of course, you're going to be doing your new show, The Oi of Sex, at the Bridge at the Shetler Studio. That's over on West 54th Street. But the weirdest thing is that you have a college degree, and it's not in English Lit, a useless thing. It's not in business. It's not in even, per se, the performing and visual arts. What is your college degree in?
Oh, my college degree is in making movies and people laugh.
Yes. Filmmaking, even Dave has, the guy who produces this program has a college degree in filmmaking. But the other part of it, what was it? What, you have a minor in stand-up comedy.
Sure, in stand-up.
There's a school that gives out degrees for stand-up comedy.
Well, you know, people will pay for anything these days.
Yeah, true. So, but was it worth it? Were you glad that you have a degree? Well, filmmaking is one thing. I mean, it wasn't just a degree in stand-up. You had a double major, yeah.
I had the backup of filmmaking.
So how many years did you serve as a waitress?
You know, I did a lot of video editing, actually.
Oh, nice.
That was my waitressing, basically.
And was this back in the day when you actually edited, like, either with splicing or on a Steenbeck machine, or was it already digital?
What do you think I am?
I don't know. You won't tell me.
I did that in college.
Well, I don't know how long ago college was. And I'm still trying to figure out, all right, 100 men, was that in the course of 3 years or 20 or somewhere?
You know, you start kissing when I had my first kiss when I was 15.
Oh, was it nice or slobbery and horrible?
Oh, it was really amazing.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why you got into, you know, the whole shtipping and the whole making out thing, because it was that first one you never forget. And it was
right. Yeah. Like, if it were a bad one, I would have a whole other show. I wouldn't even have this show. It would be talking about politics or something.
I had my first kiss when I was 5 years old. It was beautiful.
So
I was kissing the Torah, but still, it was a very nice thing. It was just a little joke there. You could at least laugh. You could give me a giggle.
Did laugh.
You did a little bit. So what did you learn when you were taking stand-up classes in, what college? I forget the name of the college there. It was Hampshire College.
Hampshire College. Well, you know, in a way, it was more self-directed learning. So basically, I took some time off of school. I came out to San Francisco, and I just did stand-up. And I wrote jokes. I went out to see shows. I hung out with comics, and I performed. And that was...
Did you get credit for life experience?
I did.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, I wrote a whole... I wrote about it. I added it to my... You know, you can basically take field experience.
Oh, that's...
Put it into your portfolio. Write about it. Say what you got. Give a performance.
I would... So many people, if they knew that they could do that, would do that in university instead of just singing a classroom and say...
I mean, most people can't do that.
Mm.
Hampshire is not a cheap school.
Okay, fair. Oh, then you lost me, because I'm Jewish, of course, cheap things, but...
Right. I'm just saying, you know, like, most places, you can't go to a place where you create your own major and you have no tests or grades and you basically just... do project-based learning.
Well, gives me the idea for a university like that, where you have experts who may help you if they want to, but otherwise you're kind of on your own. Oh, I think I'll call it Trump University. What an idea. There you go. Just teasing. You mentioned that when you were cutting your teeth, as it were, as a stand-up comedian, you were mentored and guided by other comedians, including someone that people might actually know, Eugene Merman. Was a mentor for you?
Well, Eugene was at Hampshire, and, you know, I wanted to be a comic since I was a kid, since I was, you know, 8 or 10, and then kind of gave up on the idea because I didn't know how or where, how to go about it. And when I got to Hampshire, I was like, I'll study filmmaking. And then Eugene had this open mic night, and he was majoring in stand-up. So I met him, and, you know... I realized this is my big moment, and so he had some first moments with me and in showing me the ropes.
Well, what's something specific that you learned, if not from him, in doing it, or from other comedians? What was good advice they told you?
Well, really, really simple. I mean, the first thing really was just like put the punchline at the end of the joke, you know.
Okay, that's a good
one. Funniest part.
Yeah. Unless you have an audience full of dyslexics, in which case you put the punchline first, and then they're already laughing, and then you add the rest later.
And then they get quiet.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but put the punchline... No, it's the order of every single word in the joke when you're structuring
really,
of course.
Really specific ordering of words. Have jokes. You know, write jokes. Write every day.
Mm.
A bunch of material, and then take all of that and... distill it and make it into less, and less is more.
Hmm. Okay. Was it very difficult to come up with that big 15 minutes and then the 60 and then the 70 minute act?
Yeah, I mean, 5 minutes was hard.
Yeah. 5 minutes can be harder than 10 sometimes. If you're trying to get on a roll and build, and then having 5 minutes, you've almost got nothing, and the light goes on. But yeah.
Right.
Do you remember the first, your first... stand-up gig, not the circus, but the your first bit and what it was like, and did the audience like you? What was it like?
Yeah, I mean, it was like totally magic. It was at Eugene's open mic at Hampshire, and I had been writing, you know, material for a month, and he's like, well, so when are you going to get up? And that's not his voice, but...
No, certainly. Actually, you can, for people who don't know, you can hear his voice as part of Bob's Burgers. Is one of the main characters on there.
True.
But okay, so yeah.
So, you know, I said this is the night. I was about to go up. I realized I forgot my notebook. I'm running like from one end of the building to the other to go back to my room, and I'm just like so terrified and excited, and I'm sweating and I'm hot and I'm like just my heart is beating so much, and I get up on stage and suddenly like it's just like this is where I'm supposed to be, and it's so there's a way where it's almost like going into a trance, like I don't know what happened in the middle. I heard laughter, I heard I felt alive, something, you know. I had a great joke about Hanukkah.
What was it? Do you remember it all?
Oh, you know, let me see if I can tell you. You know, hilariously, I heckled the person who laughed at my joke.
Oh, nice. Now, that's a good way to make fans.
Really, yeah, that was...
You're laughing, you asshole? Oh, shame on you.
Totally. That was not recommended.
Well, what was the Hanukkah joke?
Yeah, so you know how, like, I love Hanukkah, and I always try to celebrate the spirit of the holiday. Like, you know, if not, I don't always get a chance to light all the candles, but I always celebrate the spirit of the holiday. Like, last year, I got in a really pointless argument with my dad that only had enough fuel for one night.
Okay, that's cute. That's very clever.
It lasts eight.
Oh, no, you don't need the eight parts. We get, if there are Jews in the audience, they'll get it.
Suppose there are Jews in the audience. You know, if there aren't...
If there aren't, you kind of have to explain and that sort
of... Have to finish.
You're back with the dyslexics again. Yeah. Yeah. But no, but that was very cute. That was funny. And it's smart. It's smart humor.
That was my first... You know, that was, like, really my first good joke that I got a laugh on.
No, I'm good. Absolutely good. Did you ever do the rounds that stand-up comedians do where you on, at that point, Letterman, where, and I don't mean physically, where you on... Kimmel, we won. Ferguson, any of those?
Huh? One hopes.
Well, no. Well, no. Letterman had his thing.
Thank you.
It was willing. It wasn't Bill Cosby. The interns wanted as much as he wanted, as it were. I'm just saying, were you on TV? Were you on any of the late night talk show circuit things?
No, not yet. I'm hoping that this will be the moment where I can kind of poke in.
As it were.
As it were.
You're going to poke in with the oi of sex. You know, I've been thinking about courses. If I were to open a university and give out degrees in stand-up comedy, they have courses like Airline Food 101. That would be for the real beginners. And I'm thinking, did you have to... When you were taking courses, did you have to read Honey Youngman in the original Yiddish? Yeah. Okay, I thought that was funny. I guess it wasn't. Well, okay, there we go. You have the delayed laughter of the dyslexic. This is good.
It's true.
Everybody see Alicia Dattner in her show, The Oi of Sex. It's at the Shetler Studios in the theater there called The Bridge. That's over on West 54th Street, around 7th and 8th Avenue. So tell us a bit more about your... So you've done a couple of stand-up shows already. Why do you think this one might be... the one to put you on that next level of stand-up comedy and fame and TV and stuff?
Gee, I don't know. Maybe just because the last one didn't do it?
Well, do you have an agent?
I don't have an agent right now, but if anyone listening, you know, is interested.
Okay.
I have kind of taken a very strange path and sort of gone from stand-up to something a little more like a hybrid between stand-up and solo performance. Because I can, you know, for me, like for this show, I think the more that I perform and the more shows I create, the more comfortable I get on stage, the better I get at it. And I,
sure.
That's what I would say. It's like, I'm getting closer.
Well, let me ask you, though. I mean, you're not doing the circus anymore. What is your day job? Are you still film video editing and film editing?
I actually coach people.
Ah.
And I teach solo performance workshops and comedy workshops. So that's become my day job, is kind of performance and comedy coaching.
And are you in New York or California? Where do you do this?
I am in San Francisco, Oakland, actually, in the Bay Area.
Oh.
And there's so much storytelling out here. People are doing storytelling, people are doing comedy, people are...
Here's the other question then. I asked you the advice that you got, and that was helpful to you as a stand-up comedian. What do you tell these potential storytelling theater comedy people? What's your advice to them?
Wow, so it's funny. I'm going to give way better advice than I demonstrated I was given. I would say, you know, the biggest thing for me, particularly about humor and comedy, is to, like, focus on what I find funny and what I think is funny and expand on that rather than what I think other people are going to laugh at. And that's kind of been the place that I've had the most creative freedom in, to just, like, spend time feeling into what makes you laugh. Enjoying it.
And then also combining, if you have storytellers, though, they've got to combine life experience and make that funny and interesting and entertaining and humorous. Are any of the stories really so dark and then they have to go find the funny in it?
Yeah, they're really dark, but then, you know, I just say, like, enjoy the dark.
Okay.
Like, don't, you know, for people who are just starting out, I love people just telling the truth and, like, hey, maybe it's dark. Maybe that's just what we're going to get into.
Well,
and
is
there may be a moment where we pop out and we pop out into the other side.
Well, does your show, again, not to give away too much, but is there a dark segment? Was there something really bad among those 100 men that you were pre-copulating with?
That sounds so vulgar.
I know, doesn't it?
You know, I think what's really underlying it all is the pain of, like, when we don't think we're enough, or the pain of, you know, being alone, and that sense of, like, there's something wrong or there's something missing, and just kind of connecting with it, like, I'm too human, I don't want to be, you know, whatever that is. That
well,
is to
did you go through,
when you're not.
Did you go through either physical or emotional withdrawals during the celibacy period?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, besides having 12 rabbits in your drawer, I mean, how did you get by? Did you eat? Did you gain 20 pounds?
You know what? Interestingly, I actually lost weight.
Huh.
Because I was like, well, no, I did eat. I did. It was that, I just kind of ate what I wanted.
Well, also, you weren't going on all these first dates and then, you know, sitting there through these big three-course meals. Now you have to feed yourself.
There was a lot of, like, late, you know, midnight ice cream binging.
Ah.
In general. But, yeah, I mean, I went through huge withdrawals, but I filled that hole with ice cream.
I don't even want to go there. Oh, my God. could you just rephrase that somehow?
That emotional experience of emptiness.
Ah, that's better. There we go.
Put ice cream in that place.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope it's a rocky road.
Friends and movies. And, yeah, it was awful. It's like, you know, oh, my God, I have to be with me again?
Oh.
Like a, you know, me and me and me. It's like a crazy menage a trois.
Oh, that's good. Is that lying in there?
Yes, it is.
It is. Oh, go good. Okay, but did your self-esteem eventually build back up from that experience?
Yeah. Well, it turns out, like, I'm pretty cool.
Yeah, you might think so. I'm still on the fence.
It took a while. But yeah, eventually I was like, oh, yeah, it turns out when I'm in, you know, do what I want to do and I don't do what I want other people want me to do, I feel better.
Now, after a year and a half, what happened? You met someone at a party, you just said, oh, I need another hole filled.
I decided it was time to start dating. I was like, I kept putting it off and putting it off, like, oh, actually, I'm enjoying this whole me thing.
Oh.
Like, I don't even want to do this dating thing. It's complicated and messy, and I feel so much better and healthier and clearer. But, you know, it came to be time. So, yeah, I met a guy. I said, I'm going to date. I met somebody.
Yeah.
Totally fell in bonkers, crazy, mad love. I didn't even kiss him. We were dating for like 3 months. We never kissed.
What the hell? Good Lord. Poor guy. You can actually see the robin's egg blue testicles between his pants after a while. Oh, my goodness.
We were both kind of in cooperation with that. It was just like this amazing sort of high school romance, get to know you, like, blow your mind kind of fully awake.
As opposed to blowing something else. So, but eventually you decided, oh, let's take the plunge, it's time?
Well, I decided that, but he realized he was not divorced.
Oh, whoa, right? Did you know when you first were...
Well, no, I knew he was, you know, it's complicated, but he realized he misfiled the divorce papers. He got a letter, and then... Kind of...
Accidentally misfiled his divorce papers, eh?
Hmm. Oh, he was traveling for 8 months. He came back to the country, you know.
So did anything... So you broke up before you even stooped?
Yeah, we didn't even kiss.
Good. Now I see why you have a play.
Life.
There's a story in that. Oh, wow. Are you keeping? Yeah. Do you keep in touch with any of the Happy 100?
Oh God.
No, I'm serious. In this age of Facebook and
oh yeah, totally. No, I'm. You know, some people I don't talk to, and some people I do, and some I you know, there, I feel a lot of love for the, you know, like all of the fun and the joy and the like sweetness and silliness and the like adventure we had.
Well, no, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Where are you now as far as dating? Is there somebody special in your life? Yes, no, maybe so?
No, I'm open.
You want to choose another word for that, please? The name of the show is The Oi of Sex. I mean, we know you're open. Well, eight times you're open. Other times you were sort of, I don't know, ajar.
I've had a couple of wonderful long-term relationships, and I am now single.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah.
Can I ask, and every man in the audience listening now, get up close to your computers and your radios, because we all want to hear this. Did you ever fool around with a girl?
This is so personal, but you have to see the show.
Well, the name of your show is The Oi of Sex, and you're talking about guys that you've snogged and then done the tongue thing with and you know, six times, eight times did the other stuff with.
Of course. I've totally kissed a girl. I've kissed a few girls.
You kissed a girl, and you liked it?
You know, it's funny. I liked it, but it was sort of like, I could do this, or I could, like, watch a TV show. It was like, oh, this is great. Okay. And
so you don't see yourself having a relationship, though, of having a serious...
No way. I mean, women are complicated.
Ah, no shit.
Unpredictable and emotional and intense. I mean, like, two women together, there's nothing...
Oh, there's nothing better.
Nothing stopping...
Yes, yes.
...but going into, like, outer space. Emotionally?
Oh, well, yes. I'm sorry. I'm an evil mind, I do. I don't even apologize for it. I'm just throwing that out there. But can I ask you, like that first 5 minutes that you did on stage when you were at Eugene Merman's open mic, right?
Yeah.
Or when it's really going on stage when you do your stand-up, better than sex?
That is... Oh, it's a contest. My two favorite things in the world are, like, you know, sex and making people laugh. So if I can, like, combine the two, like, sometimes I'll just, like, write jokes on my inner thighs. Both things happening at the same time.
Hey, you know what happens for me all the time with my dear wife, Miriam Libby, because I'll ask her for sex and she starts laughing at me. So I combine the two. Thank you so much. It'd be really nice if you actually laughed when I told the joke, but we were close. We're getting there.
I did.
There's this delayed reaction, though.
It's a East Coast. It's a telephone.
That could be. Oh, that's it. Thank you. Thank you for making me feel better. Blaming the telephone. Now, we're talking about delayed reactions. If you want to talk about Alicia Dattner's getting laid reactions, you have to see her one-woman show. It's called The Oi of Sex. It is at... The Oi of Sex. It's at Shetler Studios at The Bridge. It's running from March 29th all the way through April 17th. Is it an Equity Showcase thing? Is it just... Or what is it?
It's just straight up me.
Oh, yeah, no, I meant the contracting or however you're doing it.
Oh, no, I'm not Equity or SAG.
Well, you know, in a couple of years you'll start to sag, so you better get the snogging in now, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, come see me now before
Before it all just drops to the floor. Now, people, by the way, want to find out more about the show. They can go to your website, theoiofsex.com, theoiofsex.com. Also, you have your own website, Alicia, with a C, Alicia Dattner, with two T's. I can make a TT joke there, but I won't. AliciaDattner.com. She's doing The Oi of Sex for at the end of March through the middle of April. One thing I also wanted to ask. Now, you've been doing stand-up for a while now.
A while.
And not just in San Francisco and New York, but you've done stand-up in these exotic foreign countries. What the hell is that like?
It's crazy. Well, you know, it doesn't make any sense because nothing translates, even if people speak English, you know. When I'm in Bombay or I'm in Chennai and I'm telling jokes, like, you know, you can't do a joke about McDonald's and have people not think about, you know, a cow being slaughtered. So, and not that I have McDonald's jokes, I'm just saying it's
Well, no, I get. But who would book you into Mumbai? In other words, how do you even get that gig?
Well, I have a friend here who's a Jewish Indian comedian.
A Jewish?
Yeah, he calls himself Mahatma Moses. And Colette Carr. And we did a gig at the JCC in Bombay.
There's a JCC in Bombay?
There is.
Like, I guess that's where all the untouchables go. I don't know. Wow.
There have been Jews in India for, you know, like 1,000 years, 1,500 years.
Well, what was India? I mean, I've never been to India. Was it amazing to go?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, there's mosquitoes everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That sounds lovely. It sounds delightful. First thing I ask her about India is, oh, there's mosquitoes everywhere. Really makes me want to get on a plane.
I can't explain to you what's great about it. It's, you know, a whole society, a whole culture that's completely based on, you know, a 5,000-year spiritual tradition. It's like...
Well, I know about that.
Right?
We both know about that. Yeah. What other amazing, interesting places have you traveled to and done... your show at, not this show, but maybe previous shows.
Yeah, I did, not exotic, but I did the show in London.
Well, did they understand English there?
They kind of speak English. It's something akin to English.
Remember, an elevator is a lift. That helps.
Yes.
A lift.
Yeah, I just dated a British guy, and it was, you know, I was, like, congratulating myself for knowing a lot of phrases, like, you know, do you want to put this suitcase in the boot? Oh, yeah, I know what the boot is.
That's the trunk of the car, right? Is that the...
Yes.
Right, yeah. Okay, I got that. I've been in the theater for a few years now, and I have gay friends, and every time the British person wants to light up a fag, yeah, they get really scared, you know. Almost blew that joke. Okay, so England, where else?
Let's see. I mean, you know, various places in India. I did the show in Hawaii, which,
ooh,
you know, kind of in a beautiful, at the Hawaii Yoga Festival.
Wait, the comedy at a yoga? You're into yoga. I think that's on your website, too.
Yeah.
What does yoga do for you? I don't get it. All I do is hurt my back. What the hell does it do for you?
I feel, like, more awake. I feel more in my body. I feel more...
As opposed to other people being in your body 8 times, but yes. I'm sorry.
I just feel more peaceful. Just like more me.
Okay. Now.
More stretchy.
I'm not even. At this point, do I really even need to go there?
I don't think you do. I don't think.
No, Now, last question for the absolutely funny and delightful Alicia Dapner, who's doing her show, The Oi of Sex, at The Bridge at Shetler Studios. That's right in Midtown Manhattan, over on West 54th Street. For more information, go to theoiofsex.com. Actually, two more questions. First of all, what's the worst hell gig that you ever had, not counting this one?
You want to know?
Well, yeah, they asked this question. We have a comedy radio station out here in Colorado. It's coming out of Denver. It's all stand-up comedy. And one of the things they do is they interview all the comedians, and they say, okay, tell us about your hell gig, the worst, you know, that you remember that you ever had.
Okay. I mean, there's so many.
Okay.
Thinking of one in Elko, Nevada, where there was maybe 12 people in the audience, and it's kind of like a casino, but it's like it's an empty casino.
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
So just, you know, not a lot of teeth. There are not a lot of teeth, but there's a lot of beer, and there's like a mechanical bull, and in the audience, and it's going, and, you know, I'm introduced by, like, somehow, you know, not by my name, but like, wow, look at these breasts.
Oh, God.
That's really...
Why do they even bother booking comedians? Don't they know that's not a place that's even safe for a comedy? Why do they bother? They should just get a honky-tonk band or something. Why do they do it?
I don't know. It just, you know, doesn't make any sense.
What's another, one other hell gig that you've had?
Let's see, I was like comedy in the round, and I'm like the only white girl. It's like at club, and the people are surrounding me. So like, they're like, somehow the stage is just in the center. So, you know, nothing, you know, and people are yelling, you suck.
Oh, no, really?
Awful, so painful. And so I just departed from my material, and I walk out in the audience, and I just start talking to people. Hey, what's going on with you? And, like, suddenly everything changes.
Really?
You know.
You turn it around. They love that.
With them. Like, they actually wanted to be connected with. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, no, I remember you would see comedians at Westbury Music Fair. And it was a difficult gig because they would be in the spinny thing. And would be in the round, and it would spin very slowly. And you had your back to half the audience half the time.
You know, it's just like when people are, you know, the people who are laughing hardest are looking at your butt. It doesn't really...
Well, that happens to me when people look at my butt. Even my proctologist, he can't keep a straight face. Really, really very, very sad. And the last question, since you are in that open dating mode, and you know, you're out there sort of looking, what is your idea of Mr. Right, or Mr. Right Steam, as it were?
Mr. Right? Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Jewish would be nice.
Jewish would be nice.
Oh, not a requirement, but
okay.
I'd love to meet a man who is, you know, like...
Cut, yes.
Kind, who's honest, who's affectionate, who's...
Not small.
Like,
you don't like the little mousy people. We know that.
I like a little muscle. You know.
All right.
Like a.
We know which little muscle you like, but we're talking about the rest of the body here.
You know, who's like healthy, who's open, who's good at communicating, who's hopefully, you know, successful enough to, you know, who wants to have kids.
Oh, wow.
Love to have a kid. That'll be fun.
Okay. Oh, that might be fun.
And who's into me, who supports and is excited about what I'm creating and gets, like, this big vision and doesn't think I'm just, like, being vulgar and, you know.
So, basically, it sounds like you'll be single until you're 73. But, no, I'm kidding.
I guess. Clearly.
Well, who knows? Who knows? Maybe some lucky audience member, they'll look at you at the stage and you'll look back at them, you'll lock eyes... And then a couple of weeks later, you lock tongues, and it might be the one. You never know. So, but if you want to perhaps be that lucky audience member, or just to laugh for an hour or so off-Broadway, you gotta go to the Bridge at Shetler Studio, 244 West 54th Street, to see Alicia Dattner in her show, The Oi of Sex.
The Oi of Sex.
If there's a sequel, what's it going to be? Is it going to be The Bay of Sex? I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Bay of Love.
Oh, that's actually not bad. I won't steal that from you. You can keep that title, even though I helped you come up with it. I get 15%, just cause.
15%, so. Yeah.
Well, it's been absolutely charming and delightful to talk to Alicia Dattner. Please go see her. Check theoiofsex.com for the dates and times and to buy tickets when she's in New York. I do wish you much, much more success and fun with your work and also with your personal life in both aspects of what you do. It's been a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rabbi. What a pleasure. I totally had a total barrel of laughs.
Wonderful. A barrel to you, too, and shalom to you.